Blog Talk Radio.
Mode One.
I want to rock with you.
You are now listening to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
The following internet radio show is for mature audiences only. That means, boys and girls, you must be 18 years of age or older to listen.
In the same way that women are usually attracted to a man's sense of masculinity, men are attracted to a woman's sense of femininity. If you are a woman listening to this episode right now, how would you evaluate your degree of femininity on a scale from 1 to 10? Are you a woman who is extremely feminine, somewhat feminine, or not really feminine at all? In today's society, you have surely observed that more and more women are starting to behave in a more masculine manner, and sadly, many men are becoming more effeminate. What can a woman do to enhance her feminine magnetism? Do you know what it means for a woman to develop her feminine mystique? My guest this evening has helped many of her clients, both girly girl types as well as more alpha female types, improve their love life, sex life, and overall social life. She helps women bring out their true feminine side without sacrificing their sense of confidence and self-respect. Her specialty is helping women fully develop their feminine mystique as well as their feminine magnetism. Who is this woman who professes to have the knowledge and wisdom to provide insight into many women's problems and challenges experienced in today's dating scene? Her name is Katarina Fang, and tonight, Miss Fang is going to put on her hat as the man whisperer and drop some knowledge on my female listeners as Katarina takes time out of her schedule in order to get up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
Oh my god, is this the Alan Roger Curry of Mode One fame? Oh my god,
you're really good at this.
I gotta ask you, do you feel that black men have some type of unwritten obligation to date and marry someone in a race? You do?
I think they do. I think white people should date white people. I think black people should date black people.
Now, how did you come up with this idea to go to Italy with the women?
With the women, right. I just got so tired of hearing all my male friends talk about Brazil and how great Brazil is for them.
When I was growing up, I would go and hear about black women complaining about white women are stealing our men. Don't complain about your goods being stolen if you casually leave them on the front porch.
Have sex. Enjoy your life.
You know, men really want women to have standards. They really do. And I don't know how we got off of the mark there, but men do like classy women, and they want women to have standards.
I think you can be single and be very, very happy, and I think it's about taking the pressures off about being married.
I'm not saying that you should disrespect a woman. Never disrespect your woman, but the key is to not let her walk all over you.
Romantic love is very volatile. People don't realize it. And it is a drug. People don't realize it. Men and women do stupid things. Not all men, but sometimes you'll do something stupid.
I think it's a turn-on because just to see that person, just to enjoy themselves and just to watch them touching that person and making them feel good, I think that's kind of sexy, actually.
Yo, yo! Mode One! Gerard McClendon from Chicago tonight and the McClendon Report. Right now you're listening to Upfront and Straightforward with my good friend Alan Roger Curry. Mode One. Let the women know, fellas, what you're really thinking. Ha ha, Alan Roger Curry.
and gentlemen, to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. We're on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and I'm your host, Alan Roger Curry. And today is Thursday, May 15th, and I am coming slowly but surely down to the close of my 2013-2014 season. Matter of fact, 2 weeks from tonight, 2 weeks from tonight, I will be celebrating 7 years on Blog Talk Radio. 7 years on Blog Talk Radio. So yeah, join me 2 weeks from tonight when I will be celebrating 7 years on Blog Talk. Well, what I really do is I don't so much celebrate how long I've been on Blog Talk Radio, even though in its own way that's an achievement. But what I tend to celebrate is the fact that I've had the most popular talk radio podcast program on the Blog Talk Radio Network in the category of romance, relationships, and self-help. That's what I really tend to celebrate. I mean, so in other words, being honest, if I had been on Blog Talk Radio for 7 years, and most of those 7 years I had a really low-rated show that hardly anybody listened to, then I probably wouldn't even have an anniversary show. Because it's not like you can be fired from Blog Talk Radio. You can do a show on Blog Talk Radio for as long as you want to. So to say you've been on Blog Talk Radio 7 years is really not an achievement in itself. But to say you have a top-rated show on Blog Talk Radio for 7 years, yes, that's an achievement. So that is what I will be celebrating 2 weeks from tonight. So I will be having shows. Some of my listeners have criticized me because normally I tend to, if I'm not going to have a show, I usually tell my listenership ahead of time. But for probably the second or third time in 2014, I did not have a show and I didn't warn my listeners that I was not going to have a show. For example, last week I did not have a show. Actually, I had planned on having a show last week, but the guests I had originally scheduled, they had to reschedule, number one, and then I didn't really want to compete against the NFL draft. So, yes, I did not have a show last week, and then 2 weeks before that, I didn't have a show, and I don't know if I gave a warning that I wasn't going to have a show that week either. So I apologize to my listeners, because some of my listeners, they automatically come to my show every Thursday expecting a show. And like I said, usually if I'm not going to have a show, I will give them a 1 week warning, if not longer, that I'm not going to have a show. But yeah, twice in the last, 4 to 6 weeks, I did not have a show and I did not give a warning that I wasn't going to have a show. So for that, I do apologize. So matter of fact, speaking of that, there is a week coming up where I probably won't be having a show, and that'll be Thursday, June 5th, the first Thursday in June. I would say at this point there's at least a 50% chance, if not greater, that I will not be having an episode of Upfront and Straightforward. So mark that down, June 5th. As of right now, I would say there's at least a 50% chance I will not be having a show, but I will be having a show the next 3 weeks, including tonight. Including tonight's show, I will have a show tonight, obviously. I will be having a show next week, and I will be having a show 2 weeks from tonight. Next week, I will have a woman by the name of Taylor B. Jones, and she's going to be talking about the whole sugar daddy, sugar baby arrangement, which in many people's eyes is controversial. I even wrote an article about that. I asked the question in my article. I write articles for TheExaminer.com. I'm actually the top dating advice columnist on TheExaminer.com. Just had to throw that out there, kind of toot my horn a little bit. But, I wrote an article just 2 or 3 weeks ago about after the whole Donald Sterling issue broke, I wrote an article asking, why is prostitution illegal, but sugar daddy, sugar baby arrangements are legal? Yeah, I don't like that. I think it's unfair. As a matter of fact, if anything, I think it should be the opposite. I think prostitution should be legal, and I think sugar daddy, sugar baby relationships should be prohibited. Or at minimum, have them both legal or have them both illegal. But I don't understand why if you pay a woman to have a one-night stand or weekend fling, that's illegal. But if you pay a woman to have sex over a period of weeks, months, or years, that's legal. That's bullshit. That's straight bullshit. So anyway, excuse me. That's going to be my show next week, so it should be an interesting conversation. A woman named Taylor B. Jones. And then 2 weeks, as I already mentioned just a few minutes ago, 2 weeks from tonight, I'm going to have my 7th anniversary show. My 7th anniversary show where I invite listeners to call in and kind of offer comments about their either their favorite shows of this past season, the 2013-2014 season, or their least favorite shows. So that's what I've done for the last few years. I also usually invite my past guests to call in if they choose to. But, yeah, I always invite my listeners to call in and talk about what guests they really, really enjoyed or what guests they really didn't care for. So that should be a fun show 2 weeks from tonight. Man, you know what's been dominating the last time I had a show, the big news story I talked about was the Donald Sterling Vivian Stiviano issue. Now what's dominating the headlines is the whole Jay-Z and his sister-in-law Solange Knowles. You know, in case you've been in a cave, a video footage came out that showed her assaulting Jay-Z. That's Beyonce's younger sister, Solange. She was assaulting Jay-Z. And, of course, there's been discussions and debates about whether or not he should have hit her back. I will preface my comments by saying this. I've never hit a woman. I've never hit a woman. I can say that with full conviction. I've never hit a woman. Now, that being said, I've never really had a woman challenge me in that way. I've never had a woman just flat out, you know, go off on me in a physical manner. I don't know what I would do. I would like to say that I would be able to remain calm and, you know, and not react. But, you know, when I saw the video and saw her kicking towards his testicles, see, that's where I draw the line, man. I might even let a woman get away with a couple slaps on my face without me doing anything, in, you know, to retaliate. But if a woman starts kicking her feet towards my testicles, there is at least a one-third chance I would cock my fist back and knock her the fuck out. And you can quote me on that shit. Woman kicked towards my testicles, I'm going to defend myself, and there's at least a 35-40% chance I'm going to cock my fist back, and I'm going to knock her the fuck out. I don't play that shit. I don't want no woman putting no hands on me. You know, what's that song? Don't start none, won't be none. There you go. Start none, won't be none. I don't play women being physical with me. Like I said, so far, I've never really had a woman that has been physical with me, whether it be a family member, ex-girlfriend, casual sex lover, I think the only time I can remember off the top of my head a woman slapping me was one time I was at a party, and there was this woman, I just boldly squeezed her tits, but that was on me, so I didn't mind her slapping me, because I came up to her, I said, damn, you got some nice titties, I just start squeezing them and shit. And she said, oh my God, I don't believe you just did that. She went slap. It wasn't that hard of a slap. It was kind of a light slap. But that's the one time I remember getting slapped. That was like when I was in my mid-20s. I was at this house party, and this woman, her titties just looked too juicy, and I couldn't help myself. I just had to squeeze them. And so, see, you know, I provoked that, and that's when I don't mind. If I put my hands on you, you got a right to put your hands on me. But other than that, if I don't put my hands on you, don't put your hands on me. Don't put your hands on me. So anyway, the family came out and made a statement and said they all unified now. They've all forgiven each other. Supposedly, this is what the media story is saying. They're saying that the ex-wife of his former business partner, Dame Dash, her name is Rachel Roy. She's a fine motherfucker. Supposedly, Rachel Roy was flirting with Jay-Z, and then Beyonce told Rachel Roy, you know, quit flirting with my husband. And then Solange came and started going off on Rachel Roy, and supposedly, this is all rumor now, Jay-Z kind of told Beyonce and Solange to chill out, like it wasn't that big a deal. And then that's what led to when they got in the elevator, Solange going off on her. But again, you know, she had no right to do that. I personally think she should be brought up on charges. You know, if she would have just slapped at him once or twice, I would say, okay, no big deal. But if you see the full video, I mean, she was throwing all kinds of punches. And again, the biggest thing was when she started kicking towards his testicles. That was the main part. I didn't like it all. I didn't like that at all. Yeah, again, she would have got knocked the fuck out. So, on a more lighter note, I saw a video today that just warmed my heart. A little boy was on his bike in Bakersfield, California, a place I've been to a few times when I lived in Los Angeles. He was in Bakersfield, California, riding his bike. He looked like he was about, I don't know, 3-4 years old. And this dog comes, a neighbor's dog comes and attacks him. And then his cat comes out of nowhere and knocks the dog out the way, man. If you haven't seen it, go to YouTube, put in the hero cat. The hero cat. Man, that video is classic. Because I'll be honest, I've always been a person who preferred dogs over cats. But, man, now I got new respect for cats, man. That cat really saved that boy's behind, man. I mean, shoot, that cat had balls, man. That cat, go ahead, cat. Yeah, I mean, because that dog was like 3 times bigger than the cat, if not 4 times bigger. But he lunged at the dog and knocked the dog out the way. Like, don't fuck with my boy. And, yeah, so, it's a classic video. You should definitely check it out. And final things in the news. Everybody knows I'm an NFL fan. I love the National Football League, if you live in America, American football. You know, everybody's been talking about Michael Sam. He's the first openly gay player to be drafted in the NFL. How do I say this? I'm trying to be, you know me, I'm not the most politically correct radio host, so I'm trying to be at least halfway politically correct. But I was not feeling the whole Kiss shit. I'm just going to put it out there. I was not feeling that. I wasn't, you know, I ain't got nothing against gays, lesbians, you know, do what you do. I'm all about them having the same civil liberties as heterosexuals, all of that. But, man, I don't want to see a NFL football player putting cake on another man's face and kissing them and all that stuff. I don't need to see that. I mean, even if it was a heterosexual, I don't need to see a man putting cake on a woman's face and tongue kissing and all that. I don't need to see that. I ain't got nothing to do with football. So that's all I'm going to say. I wasn't happy about that. But anyway, I'm going to take an intermission break. And when I get back, I will be introducing my guest for the evening. Now, the fellas, you can listen to this show, but as you know, I have 3 types of shows. I have some shows that are lean towards being for the men, some shows that lean towards being for the women, and then some shows that are, I would say, are equally for both men and women. This is kind of a female show. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, if you're in my chat room and you're a male listener, I'm kicking you out, or you, I don't want you to listen. I always want both genders to listen, but, you know, a lot of stuff we're going to be talking about is advice for women. So when I get back from this intermission break, I will be introducing her, and we will get the conversation started. So don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. I will be right back.
Can you feel the tension? You know what's coming up next, don't you? You all know what's coming up next. So, what can I tell you? I'm excited. I'm standing backstage and I'm all jittery. It's the moment we've all been waiting for. What can I tell you? I read this guy's book about 2 years ago, and this is some of the most powerful shit I've read. The guy's mind-blowing. He's got a radio show. He's been all over the place. He's got crazy fans. He's amazing at what he does. He loves helping people as well. This guy will go on for hours and hours, even if it's like one person or 100 people. He doesn't give a shit. He'll stand there and he'll help people and help them and help them and just keep it. And he loves this stuff. He's passionate about it. He changed my life. He's changing everybody's life in the room and thousands of people. And he's amazing. I'm really happy. I consider him one of my mentors. I love the guy. Please go crazy for Alan Roger Curry.
I need to know what you said to the Japanese girl on roller skates.
I went up to her. I said, "You got a talent for this rollerblading thing." And that was probably the only moment when she was smiling. She was like, "Yes, I love to rollerblade." I said, "Well, to be quite frank with you, I didn't give a fuck about rollerblading." I said, "Your ass looks so juicy in that, what is that, spandex?" And she was like, "Oh, my God, I mean, would you just come to Venice Beach to just look at women's asses?" I was like, "Is that a trick question?"
Please visit www.mode1.net for more information on the Direct Approach Dating Summit 2010 DVD. Are you an expert and or book author who offers men and women products and services related to dating and relationships? If you have a new product, a valuable service, or upcoming event or speaking presentation that you would like to advertise on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network that is guaranteed to hit your target demographic audience, then look no further than Blog Talk Radio's number one talk radio podcast program for active dating singles. Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry has had more episodes ranked number one in the category of romance, dating and relationships, love and sex, and overall self-help for singles than any other talk radio podcast program on the entire Blog Talk Radio network since January of 2008. I will help you advertise any product, service, or event that is designed to help men and women improve their love lives, sex lives, and overall social lives. Please write me at Blog Talk Radio Advertising at mode1.net. That's MODEONE.net. Don't wait. Do it now. Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. We now return to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Welcome back. Welcome back to another episode of Upfront and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, the most listened to talk radio podcast program on the Blog Talk Radio Network in the category of romance, relationships, and self-help. And my guest for the evening was born and raised in Indonesia, and she's been in the United States for approximately 12 years. And she's had her share of ups and downs with men in her life. She's dated some alpha males. She's dated some beta males. Matter of fact, she was married to a beta male for 9 years, and that left her frustrated because she ended up wearing the pants in the relationship. I tell women all the time, you know, dating a beta male is always a mixed bag. It kind of has its positive things and negative things. On the positive end, if you're a woman that likes to be treated like a queen or a princess and generally likes to have your way, then that's when you should date a beta male. But on the negative end, you know, if you're a woman that likes for the man to be in charge of the relationship and you don't want to wear the pants, then you don't want to date a beta male. Anyway, my guest this evening, she admits in her biographical information that she has dated a fair share of beta males. She was married to a beta male for 9 years, but now she is a sought-after dating and relationships coach. She helps both men and women, but primarily women, overcome a lot of their challenges related to, you know, navigating their way through today's dating scene. And she's specifically here tonight to talk to my female listeners about enhancing their sense of female magnetism, as well as developing a feminine magnetism and a feminine mystique. And she goes by the nickname The Man Whisperer. The Man Whisperer. And she has an ebook called He's Really That Into You, He's Just Not Ready. So, listeners, on behalf of the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and Upfront and Straightforward, give it up for my guest, Miss Katarina Fang.
Hey, Alan.
How are you, Katarina?
I am very well. Thank you very much. Thank you for having me here. I have a few corrections here. I was married to an alpha male, but before that I was in a relationship for 9 years with a beta male, so I had both experiences. So with
okay.
beta male and then alpha male, which was my ex-husband, and so
okay,
I learned so much from the experience.
Let's start off there then. Let's talk about both. Tell me what you liked about your relationship with the beta male and what you disliked about your relationship with the beta male.
What I like about relationship with a beta male is that it was so easy because, you know, the guy by definition is very feminine energy. He wasn't effeminate or something, but he definitely was very, very mellow, you know. You know, like most guys, especially the masculine guys, they have this like sort of male aggressiveness, that male sort of like rage. He didn't have any of that. So relationship with him was just so easy. We barely fought. But over time, you know, I just didn't feel like he was man enough for me. Like over time, I felt that I was like the man in a relationship. We were not polarized enough. Even though, admittedly, I was very, you know, masculine energy myself. You know, at that time, you know, I didn't know any better. I wasn't at all like I am today. So I tend to sort of, you know, dominate the relationship. That's why I ended up with him in the first place, because, you know, alpha male or masculine guys were not attracted to me, not attracted to a woman like me. So that's the pro of, you know.
See, you said something. I want to pause you right there. I want to pause you right there because This is something I've talked about on my show, and I've even gotten into a couple of heated arguments with some former guests about this. But I say
and
this all the
imagine.
Time. And you just pointed it out, is that, like, I had a guest just last fall. She tried to argue that she was very alpha, and she tried to argue that alpha men loved alpha women. And I said, no, that's bullshit.
I said, no,
alpha males
bullshit.
Do not want – very few, no. if any, alpha males I know go after women who are alpha females.
Very true. And, you know, I heard that all the time from my audience, too. You know, I got blasted so many times by alpha female who just think I'm trying to set the clock back to the 50s. So just like you, you know, I have the same kind of issues dealing with women who resist my message so much. Because they think, you know, I'm teaching women to be a pushover, to be a doormat, and all that. Because they don't understand. And that's because of that, they are perpetually single. Because no man wants a woman like them. They're bull bastards.
See, I like you already, Katarina. You speak the truth.
Thank you. I've been there, done that, bought the T-shirt, so I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, because, see, I have so many. I don't want to go on too much of a soapbox or segue, but or tangent, I should say. But, yeah, I have so many women I've met over the last, I don't know, 5, 10, 15 years. On one end, they will wonder why they single and can't attract a man. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell them straight up. I say, you're too alpha. And they'll be like, what's wrong with that? I'll be like, no, you ain't. See, your problem is... There's nothing wrong with a woman being alpha if she wants to date beta males. That's when I would
exactly.
say there's no problem. But
exactly.
if you're an alpha female
said.
And
mm-hmm.
you want to attract alpha male, that ain't going to work. Two doms
exactly.
cannot work in a relationship. It does not.
Totally.
But yeah, there's at least two guests. Like I said, one, the most recent was last fall. I've gotten into mm-hmm. like heated arguments, debates about that. Because this woman who was
I
on my show,
imagine,
she tried
Larry.
To really, she said, no, Alan, I disagree with you. I was like, okay, where's your husband at? Well, I'm not married. Where's your fiance at? I'm not engaged. I was like, just shut the fuck up then. There you go.
That's funny. Very true. That's very true. I have to face that all the time, believe me, you know, so I know.
So, okay, so we talked about your experience with the beta male. Now, you said you were married to an alpha male for 4.5 years.
Yes.
Okay, what was the
right.
pros of that relationship and what was the cons of that relationship?
You know, the pros that I was so physically attracted to him because he was so man. The con, I couldn't relate to him whatsoever because, you know, my beta ex messed me up in the head. You know, so I was out of that relationship expecting that man would act the way my beta ex is. And of
so
course,
you were expecting
my
alpha
ex,
male to act like the beta male.
Exactly, because I was so totally blind. I just didn't know any better, you know. So when I met my alpha ex, I was so attracted to him, but at the same time, I didn't know what to do with him. I couldn't relate to him. We had nothing whatsoever in common, and he could never, you know, like, not obey, but I was so used to a man following my lead. I had a hard time sort of understanding why he never really agreed or to do things with me and all that, you know. And the issues just compounded based on my misunderstanding of what a man is, you know. Most men are. And most men are like my alpha ex. They are very masculine. And I mean, in a way, I was better enough to get him attracted because he was so dominant, you know. So we were kind of polarized by default because even though I was like kind of masculine energy, but maybe compared to American women, I was still kind of girly, you know what I'm saying? Like most Asian women are probably a little bit girlier than American women. So probably that's why we ended up together, but I had a hard time just following his lead. I really did. And I always sort of ask questions. I didn't know at that time that asking guys questions after question, it was very emasculating because he felt like
you don't trust me. You know, like he's being questioned all the time. And as a man, he wants to be trusted. But I had a hard time because in all my relationships before him, I was the one who was wearing the pants. I decided on things to do, places to go, and stuff like that. I paid too.
You are like somebody just said in my chat room. They said, "Damn, finally a woman speaking the truth." So you already earning brownie points with my male listeners.
Oh man,
I learned the hard way. I hate to keep repeating it, but man, I've been saying this for years. So it's so refreshing to hear a woman acknowledge this. Matter of fact, I just had this because I do consultations with male clients, but probably about 5% of my consultation clients are women, and I had this woman who contacted me on LinkedIn, and she was an attractive woman, had a couple of degrees, and she said, "Alan, I want your help because I feel like I'm a woman who has a lot to offer, and I want to understand why I don't have many men pursuing me." And I said, "Okay, well, let's do a consultation." I said, "I normally charge, but I said, I'll give you one complimentary session for free." And she said, "I really appreciate it." So we start talking, and literally within 10 to 15 minutes into our phone conversation, I knew exactly what her problem was. I said, "Okay." I said, "I don't bullshit my clients, so I'm going to keep it real with you." I said, "You ready for that?" She said, "Yeah, I'm ready." I said, "You too much of a spoiled bitch." Of course, she was like, "Excuse me?" I said, "You're excused." I said, "But based on what you've told me in just the first roughly 15 minutes of this conversation," I said, "two, you come across, number one, as very, very spoiled, like a diva type." And I said, "You're very, very alpha." And I said, "Your problem is you." She had the same problem a lot of women have, is that she was very alpha, but she didn't want to hook up with beta males. She wanted to hook up with alpha males.
Exactly. I know.
And I was like, "You ain't going to attract alpha males," being the type of person that I'm seeing on the phone. And she was a little, that ruffled her feathers.
I have tons of clients just like that. Every day I deal with them. So I know. And just like you, the first 5-10 minutes, they tell me, even just like a few paragraphs on emails, I know right away what their problems are. So you get really, really good at like diagnosing problems. I know what your problems are. Yes, I can help you for sure.
Okay, well, before we get into what you do to help women, let me go back a little bit and ask you. Now, I see that your education was in the area of business accounting.
Yes.
What series of events, or was it maybe a person, a family member, a particular incident in your life, what caused you to want to pursue a career as a professional dating and relationships coach?
The dating coach itself, it just kind of fell on my lap after my split from my ex. And, I was just so engrossed in everything about relationship, about male and female dynamic, and about how to attract men, how to keep them attracted. So but I went to school to study accounting only because I didn't know. I just graduated from high school at that time. As a 19, 20-year-old, you didn't know what you want to do in life. And, lots of my friends went to study economy or accounting. So I kind of just follow the current and took accounting, had no idea what it was all about, and I hated every minute of it. So, and even though finally I graduated after 8 years, can you believe it? Like, most of my friends graduated after 2.5 or 3, 4 years at the most. I graduated after 8 years because I just didn't like it. It was a struggle for me to finish my school. But I was always attracted in the field to the field of psychology. But as a 19-year-old high school graduate, you didn't know anything about psychology. Oh, what you will be good at, But over time, I kind of learned that
I would have been better if I had studied psychology, which I did, you know, by myself after, you know, I work like as an HR manager or consultant, you know, after my college years. So, and I realized that time, damn, you know, I could have been a much better psychologist than an accountant, that's for sure. So I learned just by reading, you know, and then after my split from my ex, basically I learned psychology just by going deep inside myself and learning about my own stuff. It really is how I become quote-unquote psychologist, just by doing or by practicing, by observing, you know. So I don't have any credentials in psychology, but I can assure you I know what makes a man tick.
You sound a lot, it's funny, you actually sound very similar to myself, because like I have a college degree in economics, but I've never had a job really that was directly related to economics.
I find it boring. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I studied economics just so I could understand how to read the Wall Street Journal. And seriously, I used to look at the Wall Street Journal. I didn't understand that shit. And so
you at least learned something. I still haven't understood it. I haven't understood that.
And yeah,
I wanted.
I would see friends of mine reading the Wall Street Journal. I said, I want to understand what I'm reading. So I start taking economics courses like that I didn't even have to take. Like there was two courses I had to take because I was majoring in something else at first, and then I ended up taking them just like extra. Till finally my academic advisor said, you might as well major in economics because you're getting good grades in all your economics classes. Mm-hmm. My, like economic statistics class, I got like an A+ in it. And
that's impressive.
But similar to yourself, in retrospect, I should have studied psychology because I would read psychology books just on my own.
That's
like,
right.
You know,
same with
I kind of basically taught, I almost, you could say, taught myself to become this informal psychologist or psychiatrist because I would read so many books related to, because I've just been fascinated with human behavior in general and specifically
me too. Mm-hmm.
As it relates to, you know, dating relationships. So anyway, me and you are kind of twins in that regard.
Yes,
so,
that's right.
So you're how many years ago did you start taking on like clients as a dating coach?
I started in 2010. So
okay.
4 years ago, yes. And I was growing so much since the first day I started. You know, obviously, who I am today is much different than when I first started. That's why, you know, my method has been like proven in sort of my own lab, you know, like I've done it all myself and seen myself what works and what doesn't. You know, I dated up a storm after my divorce or my separation. But I learned so much from that experience, and then you know, I brought that into my work in my coaching job.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, when you do you work with women exclusively, men and women?
I have
what?
A few male clients, but you know, vast majority of my clients are women, because they are the ones who, you know, who are very avid, you know, looking for help. Men probably are not as eager as women as when it comes to relationship. Do you agree?
You said, wait, say that one more time.
I think women are far more eager when it comes to learning new things about self-help or relationships. I don't think guys are as eager as women, you know, trying to find help.
Oh,
what's wrong
with
me?
Oh, yeah,
you know, how to improve my relationship and that sort of thing.
Well, this is what I say. This is what I say, and I say this in my third book. I have a book called I always drop my voice when I say the title of this book. It's called Ooh, Say It Again, Mastering the Fine Art of Verbal Seduction and Oral Sex. Mm-hmm. Not O-R-A-L, but A-U-R-A-L, sex. But anyway, in that book,
wow.
In the introduction, one of the things I say is that, well, I kind of say what you say, but I also add on some. I say, statistics show that women buy way more self-help books than men do, particularly
absolutely.
As it relates to dating and relationships.
Absolutely.
And but one thing I know just from the sales of my books, which are all geared towards men, see, here's
uh-huh.
the difference. Men will buy books, but keeping it real and just being blunt, men don't, for the most part, you have exceptions here and there, but men, they don't want to read books about that deal with lovey-dovey shit, like
uh-huh.
emotions. That's not men's
uh-huh.
thing. Again, you got
yeah,
a few exceptions
that's not
there and there.
Right.
But men, now, if you write a book called How to Fuck 20 Women in 2 weeks, yeah, you will sell, you'll become a millionaire.
Right.
That's what men, that's the type of books men want to read. They want to read books related to how to get more pussy. And that's just,
right.
yeah, that's just the reality
naturally.
Of men. We want to know
yes,
how
naturally.
To get a woman's pussy wet as quickly as possible, how
right.
to fuck them as quickly as possible.
And we
honestly,
need
all
about how to get men to commit. You know, so you're interested in sex, you're interested in relationships. So, you know, we give sex to get relationship, you give relationship to get sex. Isn't that true?
That's true to a degree, yeah. I mean,
yeah, to a degree. Or at least you fake it that you want a relationship.
Well, it's funny you would say that. It's very funny you would say that because I don't want to spend too much time talking about the backstory of my books because all my listeners already know. What my book's about. But what you just said is what was what prompted me to write my first book. It's called Mode
uh-huh.
One, Let the Women Know What You're Really Thinking. And that phrase you said about men basically faking interest in a relationship in order to get sex, that's what most men were doing when I was in
uh-huh.
college. If men wanted
uh-huh.
casual sex, they wouldn't straight up just say that. They would give a woman the impression that they wanted a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship.
Right, right.
And then once they fucked that woman X number of days or X number of weeks, they would just dump her. And I was one of the less than handful of guys on campus in the university in Bloomington, Indiana, that was basically like, that's bullshit. I was like, if I know I just want to fuck a woman, I'm going to tell her straight up that I want to fuck her. And a lot of guys at the time were like, man, good luck with that. You ain't going to have no success with that, man. You got to always give a woman the impression that you want a relationship. You can't just tell women that all you
uh-huh.
want to do is fuck them. But to my pleasant surprise, as well as their astonishment, I start being just really raw and straightforward with women. Like, I would approach women at parties and say, hey, I'm going to tell you straight up, I ain't looking for no long-term
uh-huh.
relationship. I ain't looking for nothing emotionally profound. I just want to fuck the shit out of you for, you know, X number of days,
you know,
X number
of
weeks.
Alan, a lot of my clients, actually, they deal with a lot of men just like you, too. Like, they will say, I'm not ready, or I don't want a relationship, or I want to take things slow, which basically meaning that don't ask for a relationship, at least now. I'm not in the headspace to want a relationship, but I like being with you. I like having sex with you. I like, you know, the companionship. So do you think guys feel bad faking wanting a relationship just to get in a woman's pants? Or the majority just do what you do? Because I have tons of clients who are just basically in that situation, trying to get a woman, you know, give them the commitment. You know, because they're seeing each other, but he refused or the guy's refused to label the relationship. What do you think about that?
Well, I would never say the majority of men like me.
What do you think
like
about
me,
that, Alan?
I would never say the majority of men are like me, because if the majority of men were like me, I wouldn't be selling any books, because my behavior
Hello.
Would be considered normal. So I am the exception. I would, matter of fact, I would say I'm very much the exception. Vast majority of men I know are not upfront and straightforward, women. As you can tell, that's where the title of my show comes from, upfront and straightforward. But most men are not upfront and straightforward with women about their desire for short-term and or non-monogamous casual sex. Most guys' MO is to act like they're interested in having a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship. Like, there's a lot of dating coaches who actually teach that. Like, I was in Vegas a couple years ago. And I'm not going to say this coach's name, but there was a dating coach there. He actually was telling his clients. He said, basically, this is what you do. You meet a woman. You develop rapport with her. You develop an emotional bond with her. You basically pretend like you want to be her next boyfriend. And then once you get the pussy for so many days or so many weeks, you just tell her, you know, you change your mind and you don't really want anything serious, and then you dump her. And I told him straight this way. I said, dude, that's bullshit. I said, if you know ahead of time that all you want is short-term, non-monogamous, casual sex, then you need to have the balls to just say that up front.
Say it.
And that's what I do. And, I mean, I meet women all the time. I tell women, like, you know, I have all these infamous stories floating around. Like, one of my infamous stories was I met a woman in a grocery store. I got my dick sucked in a grocery store. And,
oh, my God.
Yeah, I told a woman straight up in the grocery store that I wanted to fuck her in a, you know, just in a casual, non-monogamous manner. And I had her so turned on the grocery store, literally, Katarina, not making this up, she was on her knees in the aisle of the grocery store sucking my dick.
That is fascinating. Oh, my God.
Yeah, and I had a similar thing. LAX airport, I met a woman in like 10 to 15 minutes after I met her. We were in the stairwell, and she was sucking my dick. And that's what a lot of guys, why a lot of guys buy my books and why they follow my advice is because this is what I found. When you are really bold and upfront and straightforward with women, on the negative end, yeah, you're going to get a certain amount of criticism from women. You're going to get your share of rejection from women. But the women who do have some degree of attraction to you, you will get their pussy wet so quick that it's not even funny.
Okay.
I mean, I've met women at, say, 10 o'clock, and by 10:05 or 10:10, I had their pussy, like, dripping wet just because I was so bold and upfront and straight to the point about the fact that, number one, I wanted to fuck them, and I told them in a very unapologetic manner that, again, I would tell them straight up. I said, I'm not looking for no serious relationship. I ain't looking to be your next boyfriend.
So
I ain't looking to
I
be
have
your
a
future
question,
husband.
Though, Alan. I have a question. Do you think a guy who just, like, okay, initially they just look for sex, but they find that the women are different to the other women, do you think they can change their mind?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So you think that's possible?
Oh, for sure. Like I've been asked that question before. For example, I can name women I've met that when I first met them, all I wanted was casual sex. But then as we kept fucking, and I saw the different sides of their personality and basically what they had to offer as a companion, I then found myself opening the door for us to have a relationship that was more long term, more serious, and more monogamous. So that happens quite a bit, and I talk about that in my books, is that a lot of men, yeah, if women, if they see that a woman has quite a, you know, a lot to offer as a companion, but the biggest thing is the secret, and this is what I want to get into with your area of expertise, is one of the secrets I tell women, I say no man wants to be in a serious relationship with a woman that he feels is either A, trying to compete with him, or B, trying to run the show. That's
totally agree. Totally agree.
You know, want
to be in charge, very competitive, trying to one-up the man all the time. That is not attractive at all. That is the very definition of a ball buster, isn't it?
Yeah. I want to give a shout-out to people in my chat room. Dax Worm is in my chat room. Dax Worm is in my chat room. I got a number of guests in my chat room. I got Jazz Kaz in my chat room. I got Kinman from Holland in my chat room. I got Melissa Williams 7 in my chat room. Other shout-outs will be my older brother and ace confidant, Stephen Curry, Irvin V. Pulliam III, EVP3, the females in my female supporters group on Facebook. I didn't see Diva tonight, my number one listener, Diva 362636. She did not show up in my chat room. She must have got distracted with something. But what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to take a brief intermission break so Katarina can get a swig of water. But when I come back, I'm going to have more questions for her, more conversation with her. And if you want to call in as a listener, you can call in 646-478-5710, 646-478. Now, before I go to this intermission break, though, Katarina, I want you in your most seductive voice to say, Mode 1.
Mode 1.
Alan Roger Curry.
Getting up front and straightforward.
Alan Roger Curry.
And the second thing, I'm going to just ask you a straightforward question. Who fucks the best, alpha males or beta males? Who fucks the best?
Okay.
Well, you hesitate.
Kind of
okay, well, right now I'm going to go to intermission break, and when we come back, we'll talk more. So, listeners, don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. You're about to enter into the erotic zone with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, the king of verbal seduction. This is the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Diana DeVoe, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Layla Odom, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Bella.
And this is Charlie.
And we're dancers from the legendary Score Strip Club in New York City. And you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Alexandra Cunahakis, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
So I'm getting treated for my sex with me.
This is Nikki True, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Ambrosia Cumming, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Brandy L. Davis, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Nikki Ransom, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
Episodes of the Erotic Conversationalist are available as a downloadable MP3 file from www.mode1.net. All right, I'm going to go with my next caller. Area code 310. 310. You are now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your question or comment?
I used to date lots of women, both in high school and in college and in medical school, and people used to always ask me, you're not the best-looking guy, you're not the richest guy out there, how are you getting all these women? And essentially, the answer is actually quite simple. It's essentially having the confidence and knowing what you want to do.
Oh, thank you, Master Allen.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, Master Allen.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, sir, Master Allen.
I like that.
Hey, buddy, thank you so much for having me. That is easily the nicest introduction that I've ever had.
What's going on, fellas?
Thanks for tuning in. It's nice to see you all again, so.
If you found this page, I'm guessing at least on some level you'd like more success.
Seducing sexy ladies. Here's the deal.
My name's Sasha. Hello. And I like women.
Hey, everybody. Hey, everybody.
This website has tons of resources to help you guys get that success that you want. It's all there for you. The articles, the videos, my blog, with lots of adventures and tips. It's all there for you guys.
Let's make the magic happen.
If you're interested in some more intense training, take one of my boot camps. They are fucking good. I'll be honest with you guys. I'm doing boot camps all around the world, so I might be coming to your city.
I would love to come over there and teach you this stuff because it's awesome. And you learn how to meet tons of hot girls.
If you're in London, this is the guy. He's going to take good care of you.
He's really present in the moment. He's really good. He hooks up with tons of girls. Good teacher and just somebody you want to hang out with and learn from.
Oh, so many names.
It's my first name and my sister name.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, I will see you.
You will?
Soon. Ryan.
Ryan. We do.
Over the last few years, I've dedicated my life to getting good in the sort of fun and natural way of meeting women in the daytime.
What are you doing actually in your free time? What's your goal?
I meet beautiful girls on the streets. You know, chat girls on the street. Sound test? Sound test 1, 2, 3, 4. Sexy man. Hi. Can I get a little fist action? We're filming. I just want a little fist. Just come on. You know you want to. You know you want to fist me right now. Boom shakalaka.
Yeah, check out the bootcamp page if you're interested in that.
I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it's useful to you. So please.
Sasha at sashapway.com. Thanks for coming to the site and...
Stop being a fucking... come on, people. She's there in front of you. That's the only indicator of interest you need. She's there. You're there. Go for it.
Please pay a visit to www.sashapua.com.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
We now return to my interview and discussion with Miss Katarina Fang, a.k.a. The Man Whisperer, on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Welcome back to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, the most listened to talk radio podcast program on the Blog Talk Radio Network in the category of romance and self-help for dating relationships. And my guest this evening is a woman named Katarina Fang, who also goes by The Man Whisperer. And she is joining me this evening to talk about how women can enhance both their sense of feminine magnetism and their, what she refers to as their feminine mystique. So, Katarina, if a client came to you, let's say a female client came to you, and she was related to what we talked about. She said, Katarina, I feel like I'm too much of an alpha female, and I want to become more of a girly girl. Mm-hmm. What would be some of the steps you would take her through to help her develop what you call this feminine mm-hmm. magnetism?
I have a few programs going on currently. One of them is about inner work that I titled Journey Inward. So throughout that 5 or 6 weeks of coaching, all these women will explore everything about their childhood, their woundedness, their issues growing up with their parents, and their issues and insecurities, and probably the traumas growing up with an absent father or an emotionally unavailable father or masculine mother, you know. So they really explore the possible cause of them acting the way they are. And, you know, it's a process. It won't happen overnight. You know, for the most part, they have a hard time to really practice the principles, because being a woman, meaning you have to take a passive role. And all these women, you know, all their lives, they always strive for something. They are go-getters. They are successful and powerful at the workplace. And, you know, and the likelihood is that they supervise or they lead guys. So they think this is a normal thing for them. You know, this is like the era of post-feminism where men and women are equal. So, you know, they bring that assertiveness and aggressiveness, you know, into their home. So they forgot totally about how to be a woman, you know, about just be, not busy, you know, doing things, achieving things all the time. So I just sort of gradually, you know, make them see that their ways, even though it earns them the status in the workplace and the material, the money and every success possible in the world, but you know, this doesn't work in relationships. You have to take the feminine role in relationships, because he won't. You know, so two masculine energies in relationship will collide, no matter what you say about it. So since he is a man and he's got much more testosterone than you are, so the only person who can take the feminine role and actually be happy doing it is the woman. So, you know, gradually they will understand, because they see results when they start practicing, you know, my tools and principles. So, you know, over time they become really, really like mellow women.
Mellow women. Uh-huh.
Over time.
<Okay. laughs>
After they see results, they're happier in relationship. Their men step up more. Their men feel happier too, because they feel like a man. They feel more masculine. And as a result, you know, she or the women become more feminine. It's the polarity in action in relationships. That's why my success rate is really high, because I really do understand about these principles of polarity.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I did a speaking engagement in Chicago, and there was this woman speaker, and she was telling these black women in the audience, I give her points for being bold. She told them, she said, the problem with you black women, you got too much yang and not enough yin. She said, there has to be yin and yang in a relationship. And it sounds like you're saying the same thing.
Oh, yeah,
okay,
absolutely.
Now, what's the distinction between you teaching the female magnetism and the feminine mystique?
Basically, it's the same thing. It's about, you know, cultivating and tapping into your feminine energy. You know, because a lot of us, you know, women, we have this severely wounded feminine. We just don't think femininity as a strength anymore. We think as a weakness or even a disease. Because when I say the word like coy, demure, you know, docile, or, you know, just right away these women are just going to protest me. You know, like, you're trying to say that women have to be a doormat, have to be abused. They straight away go into the extreme of being abused, being mistreated. I said, no, if you are all that, you know, and you are emotionally healthy and you have healed all your woundedness, you won't end up with an abuser. The only way you can be with an abuser is because you are not healthy emotionally. You know, but you're a whole woman, you're feminine, you're high value. You know, no guy would dump a woman like that. No guy. Because women are like that are so very rare these days. It is. It's true. It's very rare. Because a lot of these women, they want to compete with guys all the time, including in a relationship. I'm fine with competing, you know, outside relationship. I'm a masculine energy woman. I'm still an alpha woman. I have a business to run. Without my masculine energy, I cannot run a business. But when I'm home, you know, my man is my, you know, my leader, quote unquote, not like leader in the sense that I bow to him. But I respect his manhood. I respect his leadership. He's my man. You know, I look up to him. So I let him lead the relationship. Then I don't become a naysayer just to be contrarian to whatever he says. You know, I'd rather be happy than be right. That is what I practice at home. You know, with my clients, I might appear more masculine because I have to. A lot of my clients are very difficult women, very difficult. So sometimes I have to bitch slap them just to wake them up. You know what I'm saying?
Now, I see where you have this four-step process that you work with female clients about. I'll start with week one. Week one, you say you work on helping a woman trust a man. Elaborate on that a little bit. How do you help women?
This is a new program called Four Components of Melting a Man's Heart. And actually, one of my clients who attend this program, she just got engaged. Her boyfriend just proposed before the program ends. That's how it was just so marvelous. Well, and they've just seen each other for 6 months, maybe a bit too soon, but obviously he's so melted, so he pulled a George Clooney on her. So, yeah, week one is about trusting. You know, a lot of women have a hard time trusting a man's leadership. They just don't think they have to. You know, they're independent, they're smart, they're successful. Why do they have to trust a man's leadership? And if that man can be trusted, not just his leadership, but just trust in general. I always say to my clients, if you don't trust a man, don't be in a relationship with him, period. Because you don't have the necessary foundation to have the relationship thrive. You know, if you're going to suspect him, he's going to cheat on you, and all that, there is no middle ground. Either trust or leave. Trust or leave. There is no saying while being suspicious, you know, of him. It's not going to work. So that is number one, the most important part of the whole thing, trusting him. Trust his leadership. Trust that he has your best interest in his mind. And take it from there. And second week is about appreciation of his contribution, however small, into the relationship, his investment. You know, a lot of women have so many desires, so many expectations, so many wants. They want this, they want that, but they don't know how to get them from their man. And then the way they go around it is they nag about it. They nag about what they don't get from the man. And it's just pushing them away. The only way you can get anything from a man is by encouraging and reinforcing his positive behaviors, by thanking him whenever he does something, however small it is, to make you happy. And he's going to be addicted on getting the reward, because men have this overwhelming desire to make a woman happy. So when he thinks that he makes you happy, you know, he wants to do more of that. It's very simple, but we don't know that. We instead nag and telling him what to do, what he doesn't do right, but we barely talk about what he does right. So that is second week, appreciation. And third week, it's respecting his leadership. No matter how successful you are, how much money you earn in work, men want to be the leader. Men want to be in charge. Men want to be respected as a man. And a lot of women have that problem because they think, you know, there is no leader in here. You know, it's 50-50. Yeah, good luck with that. There is no polarity in 50-50. And no matter how much a saint a man is...
Man, wait, Katarina. Before you go on, I got to pause on that. Because, see, again, man, you earning so many brownie points tonight. I tell women
Thank
that
you.
All the time. I said, there is no fucking 50-50 relationship.
There's no 50-50. Because
I've heard women say that. How come a relationship can't be 50-50? No. To me, it's only two types of relationship. Either the man is running the relationship, is the leader of the relationship,
or if
she wants a beta male, the woman is running the relationship.
Yes,
but
exactly.
It ain't no 50-50.
Asking
for 50-50 is like a city with two mayors or a state with two governors or a country with two presidents.
Exactly.
You can't have two presidents. You got
to
have a president and a vice president. You got a governor and lieutenant governor. You got a mayor and
right.
a deputy mayor. But yeah, so I'm so glad you said, man. I'm gonna be referring to this conversation the next time I get in debates with women.
Oh, please
I'm
do.
Gonna say, okay, I want you to listen to the Katarina.
I'm glad I can help you.
Because you bring somebody in my chat room just said, they said she is speaking so much truth. You are breaking the shit down, Katarina. I just want to give you kudos.
Oh, no, thank you so much. I always say to my client, I break this down to science. This is 2 + 2 = 4. You want serious results, follow my advice to a T. Because, you know, I've seen enough to know what works.
I like that. Okay. Yeah, so we were talking about the four components. So the final one would be we covered three: trusting him, thanking and appreciating him, respecting his leadership, and the final one is
communication. And you know what? Communication is so overrated. You know, couples have problems in a relationship. It's not because of lack of communication. You know, most couples know what each other wants because they always, these desires have always been spelled out, you know, to the point of nagging. So it's not about not understanding what our partner wants. It's about connection. It's about the fading connection. Your partner doesn't want to listen to you because they are too pissed off, because they think they are not being validated, they are not being respected, you know, and you being nagging. That is the reason why communication breaks down. There is no other reason. But if you cultivate the connection, you know, you never have a problem communicating with your partner. Just like when you first met someone, you know, you are so, like, into them. You are so, like, invested, trying to make this work. You know what? Yeah, the first time you met someone, you were helped by the chemicals in the brain. Toward the relationship, there is no more, like, support like that. You have to work on that. You have to work on the connection because there is no more the in love chemicals running in your system. This is when couples break apart because they think, you know, my partner takes me for granted. They doesn't listen to me. And the guy thinks, you know, oh, she always nags about something. She's never happy. I can never make her happy. So because of that, there is so much strain in the relationship. Now, whatever you say and however you say it, it's not going to work. You got to work back on the first three components: trust, appreciation, and respect. And because women are the emotional leaders in the relationship, because we are, you know, for the most part, it's about how happy we are in the relationship, you know, as a woman. Because we are the emotional leaders in the relationship, we have so much power to make this relationship work or not working at all. If only we just understand where a man is coming from, you know, you'll be a cherished woman. You'll be a woman that every guy wants to be with. It's not about looks. It's about your feminine energy.
Mm-hmm. And my last question would be, I've seen on your blog this term you use called softening your boundaries. What does that mean when you say softening your boundaries?
Yes, this is, you know, you hear a lot, Alan, from a lot of women, like, you know, you got to have your standards or your boundaries. You got to stand out. You got to stick for yourself. You got to put your man in his place so he doesn't, you know, like, walk all over you. Did you hear that a lot from women?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I mean. That is the hardening of boundaries. Men don't respond to that. And instead of telling these women you have to harden your boundaries, soften them. You know, be more understanding. Be soft. Just be soft. You know, the reason you erect so many boundaries is because you perceive the world as a place of conflict. And you perceive the world as a place of conflict because you are full of conflict inside. If you are peaceful inside, you don't need any boundaries whatsoever. None. Yeah, healthy boundaries. I do understand that. But there's no need to sort of protect yourself from insults or perceived insults, more likely than not. And because you are softened, your man will act better to you. You know, women want an alpha male who acts better with us. That is only possible when a woman is acting better with a guy. So if you want your guy to treat you like a woman, act like a woman. You know, don't be like an angry bullbuster. That's not going to work. You know, he's got more testosterone than you. He's got more male power than you. You're going to always lose if you fight with a man, you know, in any sense of the word. Either emotionally or physically, obviously, because you're not as strong as he is. So the only way to a man's heart is by being soft, you know, by luring with honey. So softening of boundaries is about luring with honey, not vinegar. Most women lure with vinegar, and they think by acting, you know, half and past when things, you know, when they don't get their needs met, they think, you know, their man's going to give them what they want. It never happens. That's why they find me in the first place, because all this nagging, all these boundaries haven't helped them one bit.
Hmm. Speak it, sister. Woo, got to read it, boy. You are a firecracker. I love your style. I love it. I love it.
Thank you so much.
Okay, well, I know you had some kind of unexpected circumstance come up.
Yeah,
so
I have something going on. You know, I just got something about my parents, so I have just to cut this. Really, I'm really sorry about this, but, you know.
No problem. I'll have you on again sometime.
It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm glad we're on the same page about most things. If not, that's fine.
Oh, yeah, and that's a rare for me, because at least half the women I've interviewed on this show, I tell you, we go at it, but it's not that you just say stuff that I agree with. I mean, you're saying things that I've been telling women literally for years, but it doesn't have the same credibility coming out of a man's mouth as it does.
I know, totally.
So you
can use what I say as a, you know, to support you as a backup or something.
Okay, well, I'm going to ask you that favor one more time. Give me one more.
Mode one. And Alan.
Alan Roger Curry.
Getting up front and straightforward.
Alan Roger Curry.
Mode one.
What were you going to tell me?
Sorry, are we still on or not?
Yeah, we're still on. I just wanted you to tell my listening audience where they can find you on the World Wide Web.
Oh, okay. My website is www.katharinastang.com. And, you can find me on Facebook as well. So, you know, I'm very easy to find. Just Google me, Katharina Pang, and you'll find me all over the net. That's my home.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Alan.
Thank you so much, Katharina, for joining me tonight. Listeners, that is going to do it for tonight's show. Join me next week when I'll be interviewing a woman named Taylor B. Jones. Taylor B. Jones. We'll be talking about the sugar daddy sugar baby relationship. Until then, have a safe and enjoyable weekend, and I will talk to you next week.